It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Pastor Abram Phiri, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, Fundis. Thank you very much for having me again.
So our question for today is fairly straightforward. It is asking, why are churches filled with riches when Jesus asked his followers to give their wealth away?
Sure, for this. Thank you very much for that. So you will outrightly see that the presence of wealth in churches can be a complex issue. And it is important to consider several biblical principles regarding wealth, and the purpose of the church. So wealth in churches could also be a responsibility that God has given us to be good stewards. Remember in 1 Peter 4, verse 10, encourages us to actually acknowledge that everything comes from the Lord and we are only stewards entrusted to take care of God's resources. So churches may use these resources to support ministry. And by ministry, you're talking about worship, obviously, education aspect, community service. Because the church is called to be the light of the world, as in Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16. But also you see that we are also called to be generous in giving, like in Matthew 19, verse 21, where Christ teaches that it's important for us to be able to actually give. And so these resources really are needed, and we are called upon to be generous, to give sacrificially, that the work of the Lord can continue to move. However, there are instances when this wealth is being misused, and it's essential to recognize that different churches use this wealth differently. And so some prioritize material wealth over spiritual growth, leading to criticism. So the Bible warns against the love of money as the root of all evil. But ultimately, you will see that Jesus taught about the importance of giving and generosity. The presence of wealth in churches can serve various purposes, which we have discussed, which include support ministry and outreach. The key is to ensure that resources are used wisely and in alignment with the biblical principles of stewardship and the purpose of the church to save humanity. Basically, for this is how I can summarize my answer today.
So I can understand the way you are putting it out there, Mfundisi, and I don't really think there's a problem with it. Just I need you to clarify more on the last part, because Jesus asked his followers to give up their wealth. We don't see that being practiced by believers today. Believers are wealthy. We drive fancy cars. We live in fancy houses. And I suppose we give good tithes, but that still falls short of giving those riches away to follow Jesus. So kind of clarify that part.
Yeah, sure. So the issue really, you see, when money is brought into a church organization, that's probably another aspect of it, or like the organization then decides probably how they need to give it away to those who are in need in community service and everything else.
Not giving it to the church, Mfundis. I totally understand the need to support the ministry of the church. I mean, even here at AWR, we would not exist without the generous offerings from people and tithes.
That's not the issue.
The issue is the members of our churches. After they have given to the church what the church needs, they still remain wealthy. They still remain rich, and they don't give away those riches. They don't give those riches to the poor. They don't give all of their riches. They give part. And that's the question, I suppose. Why are we still maintaining riches? It presupposes that God wants people who are not wealthy. This question and the verse that this person is referring to implies that God doesn't want rich people. If you're rich, give away your riches. That's what is implied here. Just clarify that part.
So friends, thank you very much. So like we were building up, so you will see that I personally don't believe that God wants us to be poor or to be poor in that implication.
You know, then what did he mean? What did he mean by give up your riches?
Yeah, so here is what he really means is where your priorities actually is priority is supposed to be God and its mission and what it is. So you know what the Bible says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is.
Yeah.
Where Christ says that you should lay up your treasures in heaven, where moth don't come and stuff like that. It is actually our priorities. Priorities. So when we prioritize God, even in our riches, you see that our hearts will be tied to where our mission is, where God is, and so that will be happening. And the opposite of what happens. Even poor people sometimes don't have their hearts to the Lord. They're tied to somewhere else. So I think here really it's an aspect of us prioritizing God first. Of course, as we give and as we continue to give all these things. In giving, actually, we have the character of Christ because we are tied into the mission and the heart of the Lord. So as much as we can give, God wants us to have more so that we can continue on with his mission. Because remember, we're the light of the world. If we are poor ourselves, how do we support the church? If we're poor, how do we carry out our mission?
How did they do it during Jesus' time, Pastor?
Pardon?
During Jesus' time, when Jesus said, "Give up your wealth and follow me," he that's when he gave that instruction. How did they do it? How did they support his ministry when they followed him? How did they do what you're saying we need to do? If we know that they gave up their careers, those who were fishermen, they stopped being fishermen. He, Jesus himself, was a carpenter, gave up his carpentry for the gospel. How did he survive? How did the ministry survive with people who don't have jobs?
This is precisely the point, because it's simply so when God calls us to himself, he calls us with everything else that we have as we follow him. And so you see, this is why even says that as we give, we need to give generously, even to his cause, as it were. So the ministry of God is really supported by the generosity of his followers. And even in the time of Christ, there were followers of Christ who are rich as well. Like Joseph of Arimathea, a follower of Christ, but man who was wealth and his wealth was applied there. So,
but Joseph of Arimathea never gave up his wealth. That's why he was still wealthy. And he never followed Jesus.
But if you continue reading on from this, it will tell us exactly that even after Christ's death, it was Joseph Arimathea's influence that helped even the body of Christ.
Absolutely, absolutely. But he was not numbered amongst his followers. He was not one of the people that were counted amongst his followers.
Okay. So if we are talking about the actual call to ministry and being a follower of Christ,
right,
maybe we're talking about two different things, because there are those who are called to sacrifice completely everything else to serve the master. Serve the master. Says you leave up whatever you're doing, come and serve the master.
Right.
And
what are you supposed?
But then there are others who are believers or who support the ministry. They still are businessmen. They still are what? But they're still subscribed to the ministry of Christ.
Right.
All those are supporting the work. Yeah. So I think the call comes in different aspects. We are called differently. Others are called to live up everything else. Others are called in their aspects of life, but also trying to support the ministry, and it moves on like that.
I want to bring an aspect perhaps you might want to clarify as we conclude this conversation, Mfundisi. This is found in the book of John chapter 19.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps you might want to explain. Verse 38 says, "Later Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders."
Mm-hmm.
So is it possible that perhaps here we are told that you can be a secret disciple? then perhaps you don't, when you're a secret disciple, you don't need to give up your wealth. You can continue in your wealth and be wealthy, and you can support the ministry in that way. Perhaps, is it possible that these are the people that are supposed to be supporting the ministry? Those secret disciples, those who are afraid of being known that they are disciples. Is it possible?
Well, it is possible, just in this context, because if you look at the example of Joseph of Arimathea, it was not popular at that time to be able to associate yourself to Christ as a leader, you know, but he believed everything that Christ says. So it was a matter of time. And you see here the patience of God in dealing with people and how God works upon people's lives. So it was a secret. But then when Christ died, Arimathea was like, it's no longer a secret for me. I think I've decided to follow Christ. And he came out in public and did that. And so in the work of salvation, you see God working upon people's lives differently. Others, of course, like you have said, even now, there are people who are secret donators, donors, by the way, to the ministry of Christ. They believe, but they don't come out in front. But it's a matter of time. Even as they get convicted over and time, they come up in public to say, this is where I stand, and this is what I choose to do, stuff like that. So it happens. It's actually a process. It's in stages. Stages of things. That's how I understand it.
All right. Got it. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time, Funis. Look forward to talking to you tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.
Sure. Have a wonderful day, Tom Funis. Thank you very much for having me.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.